The church of Sardis, you know, in Revelation, they had a reputation for being alive, but Jesus said they were spiritually dead. Are we seeing that in the modern day church?
I think in some places, for sure.
Yeah, it looks like it. Maybe biblically it begins with a few names, like the remnant are the true believers in Christ.
And, of course, we're going to be playing more Christian music like Peter Burton and Cochran & Company.
Yeah, Friday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. on The Tom Jordan Show.
WMUZ FM HD1 Detroit. 103.5 The Light. Streaming online at WMUZ.com. Detroit made. Bible strong. We're the brightest light in Southeast Michigan. This is WMUZ 103.5 The Light. Detroit made. Bible strong.
You've heard me say for years that the more that the evolutionary and scientific community, the more they discover, the more it lines up perfectly with what Scripture says. We see this archaeologically, we see this genetically, we see this scientifically. The Bible is true, folks. It is true. Biblical creation is true. And I was reading this story in the Christian Post. Headline says, Archaeology and Genetics Confirm Bible Story of Philistines' Origins. And let me just read to you a little bit from the Christian Post here and what they say. They say, between 1997 and 2016, researchers in an excavation near Ashkelon in Israel examined the remains of more than 100 humans, remains that dated from the 12th to the 6th centuries before Christ. The researchers hoped to find human DNA in order to answer the age-old question, who were the Philistines and where did they come from? As it turns out, the Philistines were exactly who the Bible says they were, and they came from where the Bible says they came from. Amos chapter 9 speaks of God bringing up the Philistines from Kaphtor, just as he brought Israel out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 2 tells us that the Kephtorim, who came from Kaphtor, destroyed the original Canaanite inhabitants and settled in their place. This brings us to the obvious question, then, where was Kaphtor? We just don't know for sure, but the Bible does provide an interesting clue. Jeremiah called the Philistines, quote, the remnant of the coastland of Kaphtor. The Hebrew word translated coastland can also mean island. For this and other reasons, many archaeologists have concluded that the biblical Kaphtor was, in fact, the island of Crete. In fact, some modern Bible translations even render Kaphtor as Crete. Now, we can't be completely certain that it is Crete, but the Bible does tell us three additional things about the Philistines. First, that they weren't native to Iron Age Canaan. Secondly, that they displaced the original inhabitants of the region. And that third, they came via the sea, that is the Mediterranean. Which brings us back to the excavation at Ashkelon. After analyzing DNA from the site, Michael Feldman, archaeologist at the Max Planck Institute, and Daniel Master, the head of the expedition, revealed their results. Master announced, quote, our study has shown for the first time that the Philistines immigrated to this region in the 12th century BC. Once again, folks, lining up with Scripture. And from where did they immigrate? According to Feldman, quote, this DNA, and this is what the scientific study determined, quote, this DNA ancestral component is derived from Europe, or to be more specific, from the southern Europe. So the ancestors of the Philistines must have traveled across the Mediterranean and arrived in Ashkelon sometime between the end of the Bronze Age and the beginning of the Iron Age, end quote. Over time, the ancestral component became diluted as the Philistines mixed with the local Canaanite population. All of this pretty much lines up with what we see in the Bible. The Philistines were ancient Israel's principal antagonists during the period of the Judges, which coincides with the time frame that Feldman and Master mentioned in their scientific research study, as well as early monarchy. As the biblical narrative continues, they become less distinct from their Canaanite neighbors and basically drop out of the picture, except as an historical reference like you see in Jeremiah. Whenever the latest archaeological evidence confirms parts of the biblical narrative, we're told that this doesn't prove the Bible is true. But what critics are really trying to say, for example, is in this case, confirming the Bible's narrative and their account the origin of the Philistines doesn't necessarily mean that the rest of the Bible is true, is really what they're saying. Well, of course, we admit it doesn't. But the Bible is on quite a streak, isn't it, as the piece goes on to say. And each finding further distinguishes the biblical narrative from other religious or even ancient historical texts. The biblical writers weren't creating myths or recounting legends. They were relating actual history. Like all history, the events it describes in Scripture are interpreted within Israel's larger story, but the events are clearly not created out of thin air to suit their agenda, and certainly not mythology. These were events either witnessed or received from reliable sources, which is why we must say that the biblical faith is a historical faith. Many other faiths are ways of life or paths to enlightenment or something like that, but the Bible is different. The Bible tells a very real non-fictional story of God's dealing with his people as it unfolded in human history. Its details are grounded in real events, not in some mythological once upon a time. And along the way, we learn of other actors like the Philistines. So anyway, I saw that story. It kind of caught my attention, and it reminded me of that study that was done, the genetic research on the Canaanites that was all over the news a couple of years ago. You guys remember this? It was so interesting to see how the press, the media, took this genetic research from a couple hundred years ago, or a couple of years ago, and tried to paint the picture that the Bible was proven wrong, when in fact, the genetic research that was done by these evolutionary scientists did just the opposite and actually proved the Bible right. How so? Hang on, I'll share that with you next, a couple minutes from now.
Keeping the light burning bright for Detroit. We're WMUZ 103.5 The Light. Detroit made, Bible strong.
Hey, I want to talk to those of you that are thinking about getting new windows for your home. Look, I fully admit, before WeatherGuard, before I went the WeatherGuard route, I used to do what some of you probably do, only buy on price. Hey, but these windows are cheaper. These are the cheapest ones. Let me go with these. All right, but here's the problem. You get what you pay for. All right, they're cheap windows. They lose their shape. After the first couple of years, they start losing their shape. Look, I used to do this. I used to buy the cheap stuff. And then you know what happened? By the time they were paid off in just a few years, I was right back where I started. I had bowing, warping windows that didn't keep in the heat in the winter and didn't keep the cool in the summer. And it's just like, oh, and then you got to replace them again. You know what's great about WeatherGuard windows? It ends that cycle. WeatherGuard windows are actually the last window you ever have to buy. That's how good a quality they are. Now, you get what you pay for, and you do pay more for WeatherGuard windows, let's be fair. But you know what? Not as much more as you would think. For this level of quality of window, they're a little bit more. They're not a lot more, but they're a little bit more. It's worth every dime, especially when you know they're going to pay for themselves eventually with your utility bills, if anything else. I finally went with WeatherGuard windows. As a matter of fact, I toured the factory before they were ever an advertiser on my show. Put WeatherGuard windows in my home. I've had them in my home now for, I think, 16 years. No bowing, no warping, no bending. The giant windows, the really big ones, I can still slide open and close with one finger just like I could the day they were installed. This is how great they are. You're talking about commercial-grade quality windows, but with the beauty and design of residential windows. And it's a family-run business manufacturing their own windows they have for several decades right here in Southeast Michigan. So it's a great organization, folks. It's WeatherGuard Windows. I can't say enough about them. And by the way, make sure you mention my name, because as my listener, if you get five windows or more, they take their already decent prices and cut them in half for you. This is WeatherGuard. So call them right now at 1-800-55-WEATHER. That's 1-800-55-WEATHER. I always appreciate you folks getting my Top 10 Proofs Apologetics audio series. I thank you so much for that. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't got the revised and updated version of them yet, why not consider doing it now? You know, the originals came out 18, 19 years ago. We revised and updated all of them just a few years ago. So if it's been a long time, get the new ones. There's just so much stuff in there. And you know what my passion here is? I want you folks to basically become walking encyclopedias in your own families. So when anybody asks you, how do you explain this? You can just rattle off the answer. Because the Top 10 Proofs, remember, everything in there is documented, verified public information that you can look up yourself. I've just done all the legwork and research for you. So whether it's the top 10 proofs the Bible is true, top 10 proofs Jesus is the only truth compared to other religions, top 10 proofs for God's existence, top 10 proofs evolution is scientifically impossible, top 10 proofs for America's Christian heritage, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, ghost UFOs and the paranormal, I mean, you name it, 14 topics total, and you can get them in CDs or an MP3 digital download. And if you get the digital download, they're a little bit cheaper than the CDs, and you can download them into your computer, listen to them there, but also copy them to phones, devices, tablets, listen to them while you're out and about. And we've discounted, we've lowered the prices on all the top 10 proofs. So go right now to top10proofs.com and get your order placed. Top10proofs.com and get the factual documented evidence to back up what we believe as Christians. Top10proofs.com.
For Christians, by Christians. WMUZ 103.5 The Light. Detroit made. Bible strong.
Just reminding you that discovery after discovery after discovery consistently supports what we read in Scripture, that the Bible really is true. Well, you may recall a couple of years ago, there was a new study that was done, genetic research study done of ancient Canaanites. And here's what happened. The media, the mainstream media, they attempted to claim that this genetic study disproved the Bible. That's what they attempted to claim. And the reason that they made this claim is because here's basically what they argued in the press from a couple of years ago. There were five bones that were found in Sidon, Lebanon, and they were DNA tested. And it turns out that they then matched these to 99 current people from Lebanon. And they showed 93% of Lebanese have Canaanite DNA in them. So I want to make sure that we're clear. You found some old bones. These were bones from the old Canaanites, okay, like you read in the Bible. DNA tested them, matched it to 99 current people in Lebanon living today. And you find out that 93% of people that live in Lebanon today have some Canaanite DNA in them. So what that proves is that the people in Lebanon today are descendants of the ancient Canaanites. Okay, so far so good. But then here's what happened. The media reported that in the Bible, God ordered the destruction of the Canaanites. So therefore, the Bible is wrong because DNA proves that the Bible is wrong because DNA proves that the Canaanites survived, that the Canaanites weren't all wiped out. Here's how USA Today reported it. USA Today on July 28th, 2017 reported this, quote, "The Bible claimed that the ancient Canaanites were wiped out in Deuteronomy according to God's orders. But a new genetic research study reveals a different story." USA Today then goes on to say, "As it turns out, the Canaanites survived God's order, and their DNA lives on in Lebanon, where over 90% of the Lebanese derive their ancestry from Canaanites, according to a study published in the American Journal of Human Genetics." By the way, an evolutionary publication. So see, the Bible was proven wrong. The Bible says that the Canaanites were ordered, wiped out by God, but we've proven genetically that the Canaanites weren't wiped out. Bible's wrong. Okay, well, we went through this a couple of years ago when this was all over the news. And so I thought I would just kind of remind you folks of what the actual truth is, okay? The Bible does not say that God ordered all the Canaanites in the world wiped out. It doesn't say that in Scripture, okay? Read Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 17 for yourself. It shows God giving the command to kill the Canaanites only in the cities the Lord your God is giving you, end quote. And USA Today leaves out the numerous places where the Bible describes Canaanites living on. And guess where? Sidon. The Bible actually references Sidon as places where Canaanites continued to live. And Sidon, Lebanon is where this recent genetic study was done in 2017. So here's what the actual truth is, folks. Okay. The actual truth is that the Bible doesn't claim that God ordered all Canaanites in the world everywhere to be killed and to chase down any of them who flee and kill them. What the Bible says is that God ordered some Canaanite cities conquered and everything and everyone there killed that didn't escape. But God ordered all Canaanites driven out of and or killed in the land that God gave to Israel. So not just killed, killed or driven out. So of course, if they were driven out, Canaanites survived. And you see several places in Scripture, it specifically says in the Bible that not all the Canaanites were killed. We're told in Scripture that many of the Canaanites fled, that some of the Canaanites were made slaves, that Israel was disobedient and not carrying out all of God's commands. The Bible even specifically names Sidon, Lebanon, as a place where Canaanites continued to live afterward. And coincidentally, it's not really a coincidence, today, well, in 2017, it happened to be Sidon, Lebanon, where those bones were found that were DNA tested. So do you see how, folks, what you can read in the news that makes it look like, oh, no, scientific discovery, genetic discovery, DNA testing disproves the Bible? It's the media that gets it wrong. And you find out that what's supposed to disprove the Bible does exactly the opposite and actually confirms the Bible. Because everything they discovered is exactly what we would have predicted if the Bible was true. Share a little bit more with you on this next couple minutes from now.
We're a companion on your daily walk with Christ. WMUZ 103.5 The Light. Detroit made, Bible strong.
Imagine it's a warm and sunny afternoon when the phone rings. Instead of the caller being Aunt Martha asking for the third time what she's supposed to bring to the backyard cookout later, the voice on the other end coolly informs you that you're needed right away at the hospital. Your husband, who'd gone out for an afternoon motorcycle ride and was due back in an hour, has been seriously hurt. Someone ran a red light and hit him. You immediately rush to the hospital, but it's too late. Who do you call when a loved one dies as a result of a motorcycle or auto crash? You call the attorney who's been helping our listeners since 1986, Scott Goodwin Law. Scott doesn't farm out your case because his habit is to get personally involved, because that's the best way to win for his clients.
Our clients trust us to win.
Call Scott Goodwin Law today, 1-888-GOODWIN. You can also find Scott Goodwin Law at WMUZ.com/Goodwin. Win with Goodwin.
Remember, folks, the insurance companies are going to try to pay you as little as they possibly can. This is why you need Scott Goodwin and Scott Goodwin Law fighting for you. They're the experts at this. This is what they do. And Scott's been doing this for over 3.5 decades. So give them a call today at 1-888-GOODWIN. And remember, you pay nothing out of pocket with Scott Goodwin. So call now, 1-888-GOODWIN. Hey, I want to talk to those of you that have sales experience. If you've got experience in sales and you'd like to be part of the WMUZ team, actually the Crawford Media Group team, right now we are looking for an experienced salesperson. You don't even have to have experience in selling in radio, but just selling in general. You know, we're looking for people, of course, that are professional, that know how to generate leads, know how to work with clients to be an account representative. We're talking about people that are bringing advertisers to the station and to the show. And we'd love to have you as part of our team if you think we're a good fit for each other. So here's what you do. If you'd like to apply for this position, go ahead and email your cover letter and resume to our general manager, Frank Franciosi. Here's his email address. It's ff@crawfordmediagroup.net. ff@crawfordmediagroup.net. And just email him your cover letter, your resume, and why you think you'd be a good fit for us. And hey, I'll tell you what, it's a chance to work in Christian radio. It's a chance to work with the advertisers and businesses in the Metro Detroit area. We'd love to have you as part of our team. And you know what? You get to work with all of us, too. You get to work with Tom and Lorenzo, and yeah, you're going to get stuck working with me, too. So send your resume and your cover letter and why you think you'd be a good fit for us to our general manager, Frank Franciosi. One more time, Frank's email address is ff@crawfordmediagroup.net. And let's see if you're the next member of the Crawford Media Group team here at WMUZ and all of our sister stations.
Shining our light for Jesus every day. We're WMUZ, 103.5 The Light. Detroit made, Bible strong.
So this Canaanite study from a couple of years ago, I shared with you what they said in USA Today. I was reading, there's a website, questionsfromatheist.com. They kind of responded to this as well. I mean, I gave you my overview response to this. Here's what this other organization says. They say, quote, DNA proves the Bible wrong about Canaanites, or did it? Israel did not wipe out the Canaanites. Thus, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. That's what it actually really says in Scripture, okay? Dwelt among the Canaanites. The Bible says that the Canaanites were not annihilated. There are no verses in the Bible that say the Canaanites were ever completely wiped out. Israel had a pretty poor track record with obeying God, and they disobeyed God on that one. And again, folks, God only ordered Israel to kill the Canaanites that stayed, that weren't driven out or in certain lands. God never instructed Israel to follow the fleeing Canaanites to Sidon, Lebanon, or elsewhere to eliminate the entire people from the entire face of the earth. That's not in Scripture. So the Bible doesn't say the Canaanites who became refugees in other countries must be killed, only those in the land possessed by Israel. Sidon, Lebanon had Canaanites who were never conquered by Israel, so continuity is no surprise. We should expect to see their remnants in DNA today. Next, the Bible doesn't say all the Canaanites in the land were killed, even only that God commanded it. So whatever happened to the Canaanites who weren't killed? The Canaanites weren't annihilated, they just moved to Lebanon. Many had migrated to Sidon, Lebanon, and other locations. The area eventually became known as Phoenicia and is called Lebanon today. Israel never conquered Sidon, Lebanon, nor Phoenicia. It would have been an obvious place for the Canaanites to flee. So the fact that modern Lebanese today are descended from Canaanites, and it's been genetically proven through DNA, need not alarm anyone who believes what the Bible says is true, because that's what the Bible said. They fled to Lebanon, to Sidon. The title of these articles could easily have been people who, in the news media, in other words, they could have reported headlines, the people who currently live in Lebanon are descendants of people who lived there in ancient times, just like the Bible says. So I find it interesting that so much of the media tried to take that study and use it as evidence in an argument that somehow the Bible was disproven, when it really it's exactly the opposite. David Klinghoffer, who, by the way, is a non-Christian Jewish scholar and an intelligent design expert at the Discovery Institute, he wrote a piece on this a couple of years ago in 2017. I just want to share with you a little bit of what he says in his piece. The headline says, quote, "For culturally illiterate science reporters, Canaanite DNA yields occasion to slap the Bible around." So here's what he says in his piece, quote, "The science story itself is fascinating. Human remains dating some 3,700 years ago from ancient Canaanites yielded DNA revealing a startling overlap with modern-day Lebanese people. The latter thus appear to harbor descendants of the long-ago population." And then here are the various headlines that news media reported on this. The UK Telegraph headline, quote, "Study disproves the Bible's suggestion that the ancient Canaanites were wiped out." The UK Independent, Bible says Canaanites were wiped out by Israelites, but scientists just found their descendants living in Lebanon. The UK Daily Mail, headline, Bronze Age DNA disproves the Bible's claim that the Canaanites were wiped out. Research study shows that their genes live on in modern-day Lebanese people. The Tech Times headline, quote, Scientists find evidence that ancient Canaanites survive today. Was the Bible wrong? Express headline, quote, The Bible was wrong. Civilization God ordered to be killed, still live and kicking. Some other headlines. Genetic evidence suggests the Canaanites weren't destroyed after all. Another news headline, Canaanites weren't annihilated by ancient Israelites after all. Another headline, study disproves the Bible's claim that the ancient Canaanites were wiped out. ABC News headline, quote, Canaanites survived biblical, quote, slaughter, ancient DNA shows. Another headline, DNA versus the Bible. Israelites did not wipe out the Canaanites. There's one more headline here. The Bible got it wrong. Ancient Canaanites survived, and their DNA lives in modern-day Lebanese. And then, of course, I told you what USA Today said, quote, The Bible claimed the ancient Canaanites were wiped out in Deuteronomy, according to God's orders. But a new genetic research study reveals a different story. All right, so David Klinghoffer points us out these different headlines, and then he responds to this and what I thought was a pretty good op-ed, and I'll share with you some of what he says on it. And I'm telling you, folks, anytime you see, here's the takeaway from this, okay? Anytime you see news headlines telling you some new scientific discovery has rendered the Bible wrong, has proven evolution true, has proven that the Bible is inaccurate about something, anytime you see stuff like that, folks, you need to take it with a grain of salt because it's not true. There has never once ever been any discovery in genetics, in the fossil record, in archaeology, in history, anywhere that disproves the Bible. And if the Bible's just a book of mythology and fables written by people, you know, over thousands of years, it stands to reason that it would have been proven wrong historically somewhere, someplace by now. And it hasn't been. Well, hang on. A couple final thoughts on this next. A couple minutes from now.
When the world says, that's weird, we know we're on point. We're WMUZ, 103.5 The Light, Detroit made, Bible strong.
You know, when it comes to windows in your home, I remember my pre-WeatherGuard days. I'll be honest with you, all I paid attention to was price. Hey, these windows are cheaper. Let me go with them. And you know what would happen? Oh, yeah, I'd pay less money for them, get them inside the home. Before the windows were even paid off, within the first couple of years, well, what do you know? They're starting to bow and warp. They're starting to lose their shape. They're starting to let drafts in the wintertime. They're starting to let the cool air out in the summertime and the heat get in and everything else. It's like, oh, come on. And then by the time they're paid off, I'm right back where I started in the beginning with cheap, warped windows that have lost their shape and end up needing to be replaced again. That's why people replace windows over and over and over again. Well, with WeatherGuard, the cycle ends. You never have to replace WeatherGuard windows. Now, you do pay a little bit more for WeatherGuard windows, let's be honest, but not as much more as you would think you would for this level of quality. We're talking about commercial-grade quality, but with the beauty of residential design. It's a family-owned business manufacturing their own windows for decades right here in Southeast Michigan. You know, I went with WeatherGuard before they were ever an advertiser on my show. I toured the factory. I was like, oh, man, this is what I need. Put WeatherGuard windows in my home. Every window in my home is WeatherGuard. I've had WeatherGuard windows in my home now for, what, over 16 years. And still, Not a bit of draft, not a bit of losing shape, not a bit of bowing or warping. They're guaranteed for life, and it's an owner transferable warranty. So this is WeatherGuard Windows, everybody. It just makes sense. It's the logical choice. So give them a call at WeatherGuard right now, 1-800-55-WEATHER. And by the way, mention me, and if you order five windows or more, then they take their already decent prices and cut them in half for you for this quality of window. So it's 1-800-55-WEATHER. It's WeatherGuard. Give them a call right now.
Lollapalooza. On Saturday, June 13th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., join WMUZ and WCHB for Lollapalooza, the 40th annual Law Day event at Scott Goodwin Law. It'll be the biggest one yet. Lollapalooza. With free legal advice, fun for the kids, bounce houses, prizes, and face painting, free pizza, hot dogs, and ice cream all day. Four BMX bikes will be given away, along with Detroit Tiger tickets and hundreds of free bicycle safety helmets, with appearances by Spider-Man and Wonder Woman characters, plus the Detroit Tigers mascot, Paws. Music provided by Detroit recording artist Caleb Carroll. Don't miss Lollapalooza, the 40th annual Law Day event at Scott Goodwin Law in Birmingham, Saturday, June 13th, from 11 to 3. Lollapalooza.
It's coming up, everybody, Saturday, June 13th, 11 to 3. This is at the offices of the Scott Goodwin Law out there in the parking lot. And it is going to be a great time. We want you folks to come out. Of course, any legal advice that you want, there's going to be a whole boatload of attorneys out there you can talk with one-on-one privately. But even without the legal advice, it's going to be bounce houses for the kids, plenty of free food for everybody, so come on hungry. Plenty of prizes being given away, hundreds of bike helmets being given away for free, fitted for the kids. Bikes being given away, a bunch of other prizes as well. It's going to be going on all afternoon. On top of all of this, yes, believe it or not, they're having the Dunk Duco Dunk Tank. I can't believe I agreed to this, but yep, you're going to be able to come out and dunk me. So, and all of the other personalities are going to be there as well. So we want you folks to come out, spend the afternoon with us. It's just going to be a great, fun, and family-friendly time together. So it's coming up Saturday, June 13th, 11 to 3. It's about 15 and Woodward area is where it is. The offices of Scott Goodwin Law out there in the parking lot. We'll see you Saturday, June 13th.
Together, let's lift our voices and show Detroit the way. Here on WMUZ, 103.5 The Light. Detroit made, Bible strong.
I was just talking about this DNA study that was done a couple of years ago, actually, that so much of the media claimed that somehow disproved the Bible because the media told us report after report after report that the genetic study that was done by these evolutionary scientists on living people today in Sidon, Lebanon, shows that they actually have DNA from the ancient Canaanites. And so the ancient Canaanites live on today in their descendants in Sidon, Lebanon. And well, the Bible's been proven wrong because, after all, the Bible says that God ordered the wiping out of the Canaanites, but turns out they weren't wiped out after all, were they? Makes my eye twitch when I see stuff like this, folks. This is the media not having any clue what it actually really says in the Bible. As I pointed out to you earlier, the Bible makes clear God did not order all the Canaanites wiped out, only the Canaanites that were occupying the land that God gave to Israel, and that they were to be either killed or driven out. And those that were driven out, the Bible actually declares that they continued to live, and the Bible lists Sidon as where they lived. And Sidon happens to be where the ancient Canaanite bones were found today that they cross-matched with the DNA of living descendants in Lebanon. So actually, the DNA tests proved that the Bible was actually accurate in what it said. How the press could somehow report that the Bible was proven wrong is beyond me. Well, anyway, David Klinghoffer continues in his piece on this. He wrote, quote, "The only problem with all this media reporting is that the Bible is detailed and unambiguous, and it states that the Canaanites survived Joshua's invasion. That's what the Bible says. They survived. So it's no wonder that they have living descendants today. Of course they do. Then he says, I'm not here to pass judgment on ancient Canaanites or ancient Israelites, on the Bible, Joshua, or anyone else. But come on, reporters, where's your elementary cultural literacy, of which knowing a thing or two about the Bible is a key element? The first chapter in Judges lists all the places in Israel where the Canaanites persisted. It says, to this day, for they did not drive them out, end quote. That's what it says in the Bible. He dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, etc. God is not happy with this, for they, quote, shall be as snares to you as their God shall be a trap for you, as you see in Judges 2:3. The ancient DNA evidence comprises the, quote, complete genomes of five Canaanite individuals who lived 3,700 years ago in what's now modern-day Lebanon's city of Sidon in Science Daily. Interestingly, the Canaanites in that ancient city are among those that the Bible specifically says lived on in Judges 1:31 to cause trouble for the Israelites. As it says, quote, nor did Asher drive out those living in Akko or Sidon or Alab or Akzib or Helba or Aphek or Rehob. That's what it says in Scripture. So the Bible actually gives. Here's the various places that the Canaanites continue to live and will live on, and Sidon is listed there. And we're supposed to be impressed by the evolutionists that we found some ancient Canaanite bones in Sidon, Lebanon, and we DNA cross-referenced and matched them to people living today in Sidon, and we've proven that, wait a minute here, ancient Canaanites lived on in Sidon, Lebanon. What, you mean like what the Bible says? Yet somehow the headlines ended up being, hey, the Bible's proven wrong. So I'm telling you folks, don't ever get nervous when you read things in the press that somehow claims a discovery disproves the Bible. It does not.
Giving you the tools to tell the world the good news. We're WMUZ, 103.5 The Light. Detroit made, Bible strong.
When you're injured through no fault of your own, things can look dire. But when you choose Scott Govan Law to defend your rights, things turn around completely, as they did for Gary, who wrote to Scott Goodman to say,
I just want to make sure you and your entire staff know how thankful I am for giving me another chance. We went the best way possible. It enabled me, as I'm sure so many others, the ability to try to get better and not succumb to the situation. Please let everyone know how grateful I am for the kindness and professionalism extended to and for me. Thank you. Sincerely, Gary.
Scott Govan Law protected Gary's rights and got him the fair and just compensation he deserved. Exactly what you'd expect from one of the most awarded law firms in Southeast Michigan, Scott Govan Law. Call 1-888-GOODWIN or go to wmuz.com/Goodwin. Scott Govan Law earns more awards because people win with Goodwin.
And of course, with Scott Govan Law, you pay nothing out of pocket. And so you're getting the best, and it's not costing you anything. So give them a call at 1-888-GOODWIN. Remember, this is Scott Govan, inducted into the Michigan Lawyers Weekly Hall of Fame. No real surprise. Call now, 1-888-GOODWIN. That's 1-888-GOODWIN. And you can talk directly with Scott Govan.
24/7, 365. We're with you in your walk with Christ. WMUZ, 103.5 The Light. Detroit made, Bible strong.
James in Fraser. Hey, James, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me, Bob.
Sure, you
talk with you.
You too.
You know, I had been invited to a Lutheran church, and I had, for the last couple of years, had become a Baptist, actually, and I just was trying to find out what your answers were in regards to a Lutheran, well, you know, just people in general, not necessarily just Lutherans, but people in general that believe the, you know, the prerequisite to salvation is also being water baptized as a necessary sacrament. I guess, you know, Pentecostals believe that too. And I'm not trying to create any divides or anything, but I too, at some point, have to realize that, you know, there are other Jesuses that were preached, you know, according to Apostle Paul, and other Gospels that, you know, we are warned about by our apostles. But what is your take? How do you handle matters of the heart like that, where, you know, two people from two different cloths or, you know, saying that, you know, I'm saved. No, I'm saved. No, this is the way. No, that's the way. Where do you stand on that, Bob? And if I could get a final take after.
Well, first, I think we need to, I'm not sure what that, I hear the strange ringing here in the studio, and I'm not sure where that's coming from, so pardon that. Well, first, I need to correct a little bit of the premise, okay, because it's really not accurate to say that Lutherans and Baptists and Pentecostals believe that you're not saved unless you're baptized. The majority, I mean, Baptists, yes, they place a strong emphasis on baptism and the obedience, and the requirement for baptism as a means of obedience. But your average Baptist doesn't say if you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you didn't get baptized, you're not saved until you got baptized.
Please don't misunderstand me. Right. I am a Baptist, and I was putting that in contrast to, someone that I know that's Lutheran had invited me to their church, mm-hmm. and then I kind of generalized it by including Pentecostals. So, I will say that's the general idea.
And there are some wings, there are some sects of Baptists, some sects of Pentecostals. I mean, there are some subgroups within some of the denominations that do believe that you have to be baptized, you must be baptized for salvation, and that you're not saved until you have been baptized. There are some that believe that. They're usually minorities within these denominations.
You're
but there are some
right.
that believe that, and I disagree with them. It just, to me, that's not...
Lutherans across the board, I imagine, you know, there's not a sect of Lutheran that don't think differently than the other Lutherans.
There's a mix among Lutherans. First of all, there's
really?
Missouri.
Why?
Hold on a second. There's Missouri Synod Lutherans, which certainly are a big difference than the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. ELCA, which is the larger body of Lutherans, they've gone so liberal. They're all pro-gay marriage and stuff like that, and so I would certainly not be supporting them. Missouri Synod's much more traditional in this area. But as far as what I'm telling you is anybody who claims that you're not saved until you're baptized, then I would take issue with that, okay? That's not scriptural, because in Scripture, baptism is a requirement for obedience, but it's not a requirement for salvation. And there is a difference between those two. So if somebody is saved, but they have not been baptized, they are, I would argue, walking in disobedience in that they were instructed by Jesus himself to be baptized. So that's an act of obedience, but it's not an act of salvation. You're being disobedient. And when you're being disobedient, that's wrong, but that doesn't mean that you lose your salvation because you're being disobedient. So I think baptism
you,
is important, but it's not a salvation issue.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad we're in agreement with you on that. I wanted to ask too, because there was a caller last Friday that mentioned about a Baptist preacher named Stephen Anderson. You said you didn't know anything about him. Had you gotten a chance to find out about the guy?
I just haven't had a chance. I mean, one of these days I will, but I just haven't had a chance. So, but anyway, listen, I got to run, James. I appreciate your call.
Thank you very much, Bob.
You bet. Thank you very much. Let's go to Michael in Chesterfield. Hey, Michael, welcome.
Hey, Bob. I'm going to get right to my point.
All right.
I'm a Pentecostal Christian who's become a small L libertarian, big R Republican. And I feel that the war.
I'm sorry,
a small
L libertarian and a big R what? You cut out a little bit.
Republican.
Oh, Republican. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm more of a constitutional conservative, you know, think that I believe that even as a Christian, that all drugs should be legal, except ones like PCP and bath salts that causes a third-party effect.
Why do you think? So you think that heroin and cocaine and all those ought to be legal?
Yes, because at one point they were legal. Through Sears and Roebuck, could get heroin in 1909, and it came with a syringe.
Okay, what?
Huh?
Boy, I tell you what, I hate to do this to you, Michael, but you know what? Your phone is cutting in and out, and we're just only able to pick up every other word that you're saying. And I feel bad because I know you've been holding for so long. It's not your fault. It's unfortunately your phone is just cutting in and out really bad. So I'm bits and piecing together. It sounds like what you're saying is that because some drugs or whatever used to be legal in the past, if there was a time when certain either opioids or cocaine or heroin, or if these were legal in the past at some time, that they ought to be legal now. In my opinion, something being legal in the past to me is irrelevant as to whether it should be legal now. I mean, slavery was legal in the past. That's not an argument for it to be legal now. So,
can you hear me better now, Bob?
Right now is better, yes.
Okay. I want to get straight to the point. The point what I'm trying to make is this. We prohibited alcohol, and alcohol has far worse consequences than all the other drugs. And all I'm saying is that we've done studies overseas to show that not more people use it once it became legal. You would cut out some of the mystique behind it. You would cut out the cartels, because only the cartels can afford to be in the drug trade, because a mom and a pop shop can't afford for 90% of their crop to be stolen. But if a cartel is sending $100 million worth of cocaine and $60 million in the seas, they are still successful. So all I'm saying is my thought is that as Christians, we can't stop people in a free country from doing what they want to do. And I just think as a matter of expediency, we should look at moving away from it and trying to treat it more as a mental health. And because what I was trying to say earlier is the History Channel about 20 years ago did a history on how each drug became illegal. And the way they got it to become illegal, marijuana, for example, DuPont didn't want the hemp rope to compete with his nylon. But they also said that the Mexicans would use it to take white women for immoral purposes. Opium. Okay. They said the Chinese would use white women for immoral purposes. And all I'm trying to say is that I don't think we'll be any worse or off if drugs were illegal. I don't think we'll have a mass epidemic of people turning on drugs, but I think
let me respond because I got to be respectful of the clock here too. Okay, and so first of all, the stuff about the past, we're just going to disagree with each other about whether that's relevant. I consider it irrelevant, whatever laws used to be in the past regarding drugs. I don't see that as in any way carrying any weight with me as to why it should somehow be legal today. I totally admit that there is an inconsistency to a certain extent with what things are legal and what things are illegal. There are things that are destructive to individuals' bodies and minds that we allow to be legal. And there are things that are destructive to people's bodies and minds and lives that we allow to be illegal. Okay. Gambling is destructive in many people's lives. Alcohol is destructive in many people's lives. I mean, so I get that. These things are legal. I guess for me, the main thing is overall regarding society, why add to the list of things that people are allowed to legally use to not only destroy their own lives and their own families, but potentially lower and degrade the overall quality of society in general? Ultimately, I think if you have more people out there recreationally using cocaine and heroin and such, I believe that this is going to overall lower the standard of living for society as a whole. I understand the libertarian argument that says, hey, we let people drink and that can lower the standards, and we let people do this, we let people do that, so why not let people do prostitution? Why not let people do heroin and such? I understand that there is a certain inconsistency philosophically in that we ban certain things that are destructive to society and destructive to individuals, but we allow other things that are destructive to society. I get that. My thing is, It's done already. This is part of our laws already. And we know realistically there's no way alcohol is going to be banned at this point. And since that's not going to happen, I don't want to add to that by saying, well, let's open up the floodgates then. Let's just let anything destructive to individuals, destructive to families, and destructive to society go ahead and become legal. That's where I just, I cannot go full bore libertarian in that area for the sake of society and my fellow man. You know what? I got to say no, because I know, because then you and me just, we end up going back and forth for a long time. And the truth is, I gave you a long time to make your case. I just wanted to give my response. And now I got to be fair to the clock and to other callers. Okay.
Standing tall for the values you cherish. This is WMUZ 103.5 The Light. Detroit made, Bible strong.
Hey, I want to talk to those of you that are thinking about getting new windows for your home. Look, I fully admit, before WeatherGuard, before I went the WeatherGuard route, I used to do what some of you probably do, only buy on price. Hey, but these windows are cheaper. These are the cheapest ones. Let me go with these. All right, but here's the problem. You get what you pay for. All right, they're cheap windows. They lose their shape. After the first couple of years, they start losing their shape. Look, I used to do this. I used to buy the cheap stuff. And then you know what happened? By the time they were paid off in just a few years, I was right back where I started. I had bowing, warping windows that didn't keep in the heat in the winter and didn't keep the cool in the summer. And it's just like, oh, and then you got to replace them again. You know what's great about WeatherGuard windows? It ends that cycle. WeatherGuard windows are actually the last window you ever have to buy. That's how good a quality they are. Now, you get what you pay for, and you do pay more for WeatherGuard windows, let's be fair. But you know what? Not as much more as you would think. For this level of quality of window, they're a little bit more. They're not a lot more, but they're a little bit more. It's worth every dime, especially when you know they're going to pay for themselves eventually with your utility bills, if anything else. I finally went with WeatherGuard windows. As a matter of fact, I toured the factory before they were ever an advertiser on my show. Put WeatherGuard windows in my home. And I've had them in my home now for, I think, 16 years. No bowing, no warping, no bending. The giant windows, the really big ones, I can still slide open and close with one finger just like I could the day they were installed. This is how great they are. You're talking about commercial-grade quality windows, but with the beauty and design of residential windows. And it's a family-run business manufacturing their own windows they have for several decades right here in Southeast Michigan. So it's a great organization, folks. It's WeatherGuard Windows. I can't say enough about them. And by the way, make sure you mention my name, because as my listener, if you get five windows or more, they take their already decent prices and cut them in half for you. This is WeatherGuard. So call them right now at 1-800-55-WEATHER. That's 1-800-55-WEATHER.
50,000 watts of light shining over Metro Detroit. WMUZ, 103.5 The Light. Detroit made, Bible strong.
Hey, Bob, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Doing pretty good, thanks.
I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
Yesterday, I heard you talking to a lady, I forget her name, you're interviewing her on your show, and you talked about picking up a four-leaf clover. Mm-hmm. And when you put the four-leaf clover in your pocket thinking, and I'm not trying to make something up like you're wrong or right or anything, I'm just trying to get educated here, okay?
Sure, sure.
And saying to yourself, oh, I'm going to keep this thing because I got a meeting later and I need some good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said something about that Satan has certain powers where he can blow the wind and make a $20 bill come in front of you. And the reason why I'm asking you all these things, because I have a family member that professes to be a believer, and she was caught with a Buddha inside of her footlocker. And the daughter is concerned, and it's a big deal going on right now. And we're trying to come up with something that we can approach her with and talk to her about, like, if it's bringing you good luck or something, because I don't want to use that, because I always thought all things that are good come from God alone, and the devil couldn't do anything good for you.
No, God, so, the devil can do things that are temporarily good, okay, that ultimately are bad. But there are certain bad things that temporarily can be good if it's for the purpose
okay.
of. I mean, think of it this way, okay? You get, this is a really obscure example, but I just happen to think of it, okay? You have child abductors, okay? Or you have rapists, or you have people that do really horrific, evil things. But you know how they lure people in? Okay, they offer the kids candy. Okay, I mean, candy can be a good thing. Okay, they offer the, when I talk about Compassion International, all right, you have human traffickers and sex traffickers that go into these really poverty-stricken areas, and they find the, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old girls, and they lure them into sex trafficking. But you know how they lure them in? They lure them in by giving these hungry girls food. Okay.
Okay. So I see they your feed point them. Now, yeah.
You know. So, but they feed them so that they can lure them into their world. So, in a vacuum, in a temporary sense, they're doing a good thing for a greater evil, and in that way, the devil can do temporary, short-term good things for a greater evil of luring somebody away from God. So that's why he can cause quote-unquote good luck things to happen to someone who believes that they're placing power in some kind of good luck charm.
So what's your best advice on how to approach her about this Buddha? Because she's all nervous now that she got caught. And what's your advice on that?
She professes to be a Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if she says she's a Christian, then I would treat her as a Christian. And I would just ask her, why do you have the Buddha statue? I'm just curious. I mean, if you asked her that, what would she say, do you think?
I'm not sure. The daughter's the one that's going to ask. This is they're Philippine and they live in Dubai right now, and it's the daughter's home, and the mother's just staying there helping out. The father or the daughter and the son-in-law. The daughter, the daughter's married and having mom live with them, so it's their home. They could actually say, "Remove that from my home." I would think they have the right to do that. But I'm just trying to, we're trying to advise them how to talk to her, and I'm just asking your advice.
I'm a big fan of asking questions. Find out where somebody's coming from. So I'd ask her a few questions first. Why do you have a Buddha statue? I'm just kind of curious. And see what she says. If she says, well, I just like it. Okay, well, I'm just kind of curious. I mean, why do you like it? Is it because you like the way that it looks, or because, it represents a false god, a false religion? So what's the purpose of having it? If it's something where she says, well, I just feel like it brings me good luck. If she says something like that, then it's like, okay, do you believe that there's some kind of power in a Buddha statue to change the what happens in your life? Do you really believe that this Buddha statue possesses some kind of supernatural power, that you're trusting in? And if she's a Christian, she ought to be convicted by tough questions like that.
Yeah, and so she's very old. She's like 70 some years old, a very old school Philippine. And out there in the Philippines, I guess they have a lot of that going on. There's a lot mixed bag of a lot of things there.
Yeah, there are. But I would start by asking some questions and finding out, are you believing that this has some kind of good luck, supernatural power that you're placing your trust in instead of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
see what she says. I mean, it'd be kind of a tough question, but and it should be asked by somebody who has enough relationship with her that can have that honest conversation with her. But
I wouldn't do it. She'd be embarrassed by me doing it really bad,
Sure. Yeah.
But I really appreciate your time, Bob.
You
bet. I got other calls, and thank you so much, sir.
Hey, Bob. Thanks a lot. You too.
God, country, faith, and family. It's what we stand for. This is WMUZ. 103.5 The Light, Detroit made, Bible strong.
I promise the listeners that I'm going to listen.
Longtime WMUZ advertising partner, personal injury attorney Scott Goodwin, recently visited with us, and we asked him what his promise to our listeners was when they called to get help after a serious auto crash.
I promise the listeners that I'm going to listen. They're going to get a lawyer that will dig deep and find out the facts of their particular case. I'm going to spend the time with you and your family to find out how this injury has affected you. We're going to make sure that we understand how it affects your life and your family's life, and that will allow us to maximize your compensation from the person who caused the crash.
Since 1986, Scott Goodwin has won hundreds of millions of dollars in fair and just compensation for WMUZ listeners, in part because of his ability to listen. Simply listen. Call 1-888-GOODWIN to start the process of filing your claim.
They're going to be treated just like they're a member of my family.
Win with Goodwin.
And of course, with Scott Goodwin Law, you pay nothing out of pocket. And so you're getting the best, and it's not costing you anything. So give him a call at 1-888-GOODWIN. Remember, this is Scott Goodwin, inducted into the Michigan Lawyers Weekly Hall of Fame. No real surprise. Call now, 1-888-GOODWIN. That's 1-888-GOODWIN. And you can talk directly with Scott Goodwin.
Appreciate you folks being with us tonight. Make sure to tune in tomorrow night for Bob Duco Primetime, 8 to 9 p.m. And, of course, tomorrow from noon to 4 as well for the Bob Duco Show and Free for All Friday. Good night.
You've been listening to Bob Duco Primetime. Interviews, commentary, and respectful debate showing that our faith as Christians really does stand up to logic and intellectual reasoning. The opinions and views expressed on this program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of Crawford Broadcasting Company.